Well, good morning. See if these things work. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are here. Mothers are special. But you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that sometimes Mother's Day is bittersweet. Because for some of us, like Mary and myself, over the last few years, we've lost our mothers. Now, they've gone to a better place, but we still long for to see them and be with them, but they're yet still in a better place. And this may be, for little Ambrose, his first Mother's Day without his mother. And I just want to thank you and praise you, this congregation, for all the wonderful acts of kindness to the two Ambroses. It means so much to all of us, his family. Now, it is true that I do preach at City West, but I tell them I'm not a minister and I'm not a preacher. I'm really a tour guide. You know the difference between a tour guide and you know, a travel agent. A travel agent books everything you want to see and experience on your trip, and then you go do it. And a tour guide does similar things. He kind of puts the itinerary together, but he walks alongside of you. And that's what I think my job is at City West and this morning with you. To talk a little bit about mothers. They're special. And I noticed the plants that came out. That's a wonderful expression of love for all the mothers. And by the way, outside of Christmas, the Christmas holidays, Mother's Day gets more flowers and plants than any other day. Over a fourth of all flowers that are purchased throughout the year are at Mother's Day. And Hallmark appreciates you too, because you send 155 million cards to mothers, and it is the number one day with the most phone calls in America. 125 million phone calls will be made to mothers. Yes, they are indeed special, and they're special. But you know, when I talk about mothers, mothers need to be tough. And by the way, I think Bethany handed out sermon notes. And I didn't want to be presumptuous, because at City West I give them out every week, but they have blanks on them. So you have to follow along if you want most of the important points. I just gave you my notes this morning, but maybe you can reflect on them today and later this week. But mothers have to be tough. Any of you country music fans? Lainey Wilson, a couple of years ago, wrote a song about 2019. She wrote a song about the things I wish men should know, things that men should know. And she says, I can shoot a shotgun and I can catch a fish and I can change a tire on the side of the road. And I know what men ought to know. But she goes on in the chorus to say, but I know how to slow down and to stick when things get tough. To stay when things get tough. And you know, that hit me when I was driving down the road and I heard it for the first time, and I said, oh, wow, that is so true. Because many times when it gets tough in relationships or families have burdens and hardships, sometimes men just cut and run. I know some Christian men. One told me that they had a handicapped child, and he said, I didn't sign up for this, you know, and so you know, I didn't stick around for it. You know, it's like no one signs up for this. No one signs up for this. And mothers are tough. I was watching family feud with little Ambrose this week. And Steve Harvey went up to this lady and said, "Hey, what do you do, Laura?" And she said, "Well," she said, "I'm a cook and I'm a maid." And she said, "I'm a teacher." And she said, "I do laundry and I'm a part-time nurse and I'm an Uber driver, but you can call me Mom." And I thought, I'll use that Sunday. Because mothers are tough and they have a lot of responsibilities. You know, they come out with this little baby that's so cuddly and warm. And the problem with those sweet little cute things are they grow up, right? And they start to give us attitude. You know what I'm saying, right? And Barbara Walters probably said it best. If you want something really warm and cuddly, get a puppy. Motherhood's tough. Motherhood's tough. And so not only is it tough, mother sacrifice. You know, usually it's mom that gets up with the sick children at night or when they're crying and they can't be settled and you don't know why. My mother raised seven of us, five boys and two girls, and I was one of those, but I had severe asthma growing up. And she would get up early mornings to hold my head up, sometimes all night long, so that I could get the next breath. Mama's sacrifice. You know, it's funny. We raised five kids, and I used to laugh at Mary Margaret because she never ate much from her own plate because she was always cleaning up the kids' plates. When they had left and gone, she ate the leftovers. Mama's sacrifice, don't they? Not only that, they love unconditionally. There's a saying from a 1976 film that said, "All you have a face only your mother could love," right? But you know, mothers have this maternal instinct that they love their kids almost no matter what. And maternal comes from the Latin word mater, and it's only one T, M-A-T-E-R, which also, by the way, we get the word material. So a mother wraps her child in the material of her own body. That's kind of the expression here, the maternal instinct. See, guys, we'll never understand that bond between mom and between a child. See, they love them unconditionally, and they never get to retire. You know, we have some kids that are in their 40s, and Mary's saying, "You know, I wish they'd make better decisions. Where'd we go wrong?" And I say, wait. They're 42 years old, you know. They've been on their own making their own decisions for longer than we had them. So give yourself a pass, you know. It's important. That mothers, though, they will go from the cradle to the grave for their kids. And Sarah Chrisman said it best. It says, mothers do more than just give us life. They teach us how to live life well, but more than that, they're there for us. And so this morning, I would like to go to the foot of the cross, just briefly, in John chapter 19. At the foot of the cross, there's several people that gather. And John tells us that when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them for each of them. And if you notice, people say, how many guards were there? It tells you by inference. It said divided them in four parts, one for each of them. So how many guards were there? Four guards. And then the garment that was seamless, the undergarment, was one piece. "Let us not tear it," they said. "Let us decide by lots who gets it." This happened to fulfill the scriptures. And then it says something interesting. And so this is what the soldiers did. They were at the foot of the cross to get what they could from Jesus. I hate to tell you, but there's Christians at the foot of the cross that are only there because they think Jesus will bless them if they're at the foot of the cross. What happens when we go through suffering and trials and He doesn't give us what we want or expect? And like the soldiers, they gathered there at the cross to get what they could from the Lord. But it goes on to say, and near the cross, another translation says, meanwhile. I like that translation. This is the NIV, but it says, meanwhile, you know, the story continues. There are three additional people there. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary, the wife of Clopas. And then there's Mary Magdalene. And they were there at the cross. And this morning, I want to, you know, ask you, though, we see three women at the cross, but where are all the people Jesus healed and raised and touched? Where are they? You know, everybody wants to be with a winner, right? And when we're having fun and partying, everybody wants everybody to be there. But when I'm down and out and in the pig pen like the prodigal son, where are you? Where are my friends? Our Lord and Savior died on the cross. And where are the people that ate the five loaves and two fishes? There were 5,000 of them. Where are the 10 lepers? I know only one came back, but they had a dreaded fatal disease and Jesus touched them. And where were they? What about the woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years and she had such faith, if I can only touch His garment, I can be healed. Where is she? You know, where's blind Bartimaeus on his last trip through Jericho on his way to the crucifixion in Jerusalem? He stops and blind Bartimaeus calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And He stopped. And He healed blind Bartimaeus. Where was he? Where was the widow of Nain when Jesus came up and raised her son from the dead? Where was Zacchaeus? He spent time at his house and changed his life forever. Where was Lazarus, the one whom he loved from Bethany? It's only 2 miles away. Where's Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead? And what about Peter? What about Peter? "Lord, I'll not deny you. Lord, I'll die with you. Everyone else might leave you, but not me, Lord." And then the cock crew. Where's Peter? This morning I'd like to ask, where are you? Are you at the foot of the cross? Are you too busy? This morning I want to talk about no matter what. And I want to use the three Marys, since it's Mother's Day, if I can do that, and give you some examples of Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and then the lesson will be yours. You know, when we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, she experienced all the worst of mankind. You remember Gabriel in Luke chapter 1? Gabriel comes to her and says, in verse 33, he says, "Your son will be great." And she said, I like that. You know, your son will be great. He will be the son of the Most High God. He will be king over the family of Jacob, and nations will come and worship him. And yet, as soon as he's born, King Herod signs an edict that says all the little babies 2 and under in the Bethlehem region are to be destroyed because we don't want this king of the Jews. And they had to flee to Egypt. And it didn't end there. It just kept going. He was rejected. The Bible says he was a man of sorrow. And yet we want to be like him? Do we? Really? Want to be like him? And she stands alone. Now it's interesting. We know Jesus had four brothers. And he had two sisters because he says, are not his brothers and sisters, plural. So we know two. We don't know if he had more. But we know that there were six siblings there of Joseph and Mary. And where are they? They're not at the cross. His mother stands alone. She's a single mom. Some of you may be single moms having to carry the burden all by yourself. Mary did too. You see, Joseph, history only records, at least in the Bible, the last mention of Joseph is in the temple when he's 12. Remember when they can't find him and they have to go back to the temple? And Jesus says that I need to be about my Father's business. You remember that? That's the last mention of Joseph. History records that Joseph was an older man and that he died when Jesus was 19. And so here Mary carries along as a mother. And that's why, being the oldest son, Jesus looked down from the cross and made provision for his mother when he said, Mother, behold your son, to John, whom he loved. And son, behold your mother. And from that day forward, John, the apostle, took care of his mother. Even from the cross, he loved his mother. That should say something and teach all of us kids. No matter what your mother is or how your mother was, we need to respect and love our mother. And she said, she expected Jesus to be a king. Nowhere did Gabriel mention that he would be rejected, mocked, scourged, and nailed to a cross. Just think about the despair, the shame she must have felt as people pushed her out of the way and said, if you're the Son of God, come down from there and we'll worship you. And they spit on him. How shameful it must have been. Here an innocent man is dying and a mother stands alone. And yet she stands there and we know that she stood there for the love of her son no matter what. You know, sometimes opinion, but I want you to know something. There's a godly lady I know, and I worshiped with her for 15 years in upstate New York, in Rochester, New York, and I happened to run across her, and I happened to say, hey, I said, Wilma, how are you? She said, great. I said, well, how's Rhonda? Because I remember she had a high school girl, and she said, I don't know how Rhonda. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, she said, she wasn't living like we want, so we threw her out. Well, where is she? Last I heard, she was homeless in Washington, D.C., but I haven't talked to her in years. Folks, let me tell you something. You can never impact your children for good if you ostracize them and cast them out. That's just a personal opinion. But when she said that, it so pricked me that says, I know my kids aren't what they should be, but I'll never have influence that I could have if I never know where they're at. So mothers that way, no matter what. And then the wife of Cleopas, several accounts say she's a sister. Well, she is, but she's really a sister-in-law. Because we know that Clopas was Joseph's brother. So here we see Mary. And by the way, that was the most popular name in first century was, for a girl or lady, was Mary. So there were so many Marys, and they didn't have surnames back then. They had to describe them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the wife of, and we'll get to Mary Magdalene, who was from Magdala. So therefore, you knew which Mary you were talking about. And so she's the wife of Clopas. She's also a mother. She has James, not to be confused with James and John. There was another James at the disciples of Christ. He's called in history James the Less, because James and John, since they were in inner circle with Peter, right? He was the James the More, really James the Just. But this is James the Less, along with Joseph and Simon. But she was a mother, but she was her sister-in-law, but she was a true friend. Do you have a true friend? I mean, one that really will stick by you. If you do, you're blessed. And a confidant, somebody that maybe you can tell your secrets to. You know, we're supposed to confess our faults one to another. Well, I've got some dark holes in my life. I just tell you. And I'm not going to tell you what they are, because you ain't close enough to me. Right? But you're supposed to help me as brothers and sisters with my burdens. But unless we know one another and I trust you and you trust me, will I share those kinds of things? And so if you have a true friend indeed, you're blessed. And she did, through thick and thin. There's no mention of Mary, the wife of Clopas, ever saying anything at the cross. As a matter of fact, there's no mention of her saying anything. I'm pretty sure she did, but we have no mention of it. Why do you think that is? Sometimes there is some grief and pain and heartache. Words won't do it justice. Any of you feel me? It just, you being there. Remember Job? When everything is taken from him, God allowed Satan to take everything from him. He's covered from the head of his toe to the bottom of his feet with boils, itching nonstop. And the men come, and he's so disfigured, they don't even recognize him. But they sat for 7 days in silence. You don't know what to say. That's a true friend. She came to watch a good friend of her child die. It ain't like going to the hospital and she's passing away with morphine. No, 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 no. This is a true friend indeed. She's a true friend no matter what. And you and I should be true friends to one another no matter what. And then we see Mary Magdalene. She was a Galilean from the town of Magdala. That's the northwest fishing town at the Sea of Galilee. And she was from Magdala, and therefore she was called Mary of Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. And she was healed of Jesus in Luke chapter 8 and Mark 16. It talks about how she was healed from 7 demons. And because she was touched by Jesus, she followed and helped support him. In Luke chapter 8, the first part of it, it talks about a group of women that helped pay and fund some of his efforts. And historians say that she was probably a well-to-do woman, that she would help support Jesus' effort. She's here at the cross. Why is she the only one here? Because he touched her so impactfully, she would never be the same. See, sometimes Jesus touches us and we're not really changed. Well, folks, did he really touch you? Because you see here, no matter in life or in death, she was a follower of Jesus Christ. What about you and me? You know, she was a witness for Him. I don't care if you're living, Lord, or you're dying, I'm here for you. And she's one that goes to the tomb the next Sunday. She's a witness for Jesus no matter what. And so, you and I this morning come to the cross. You and I get to stand at the foot of the cross. And what does that image mean to you and me? It means that I love you no matter what. In Romans chapter 8, it says, what can keep us or separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And you can go through that in absolutely nothing. You can't get high enough, low enough, bad enough, good enough to separate yourself from the love of God. Jesus loves us no matter what. Now, I want to put a caveat on that because people say, yeah, that's great. I can do whatever I want to. No, He loves you so much. He wants you to become more and more like Him day by day. Just like the lady caught in adultery, He says, where are those that condemn you? I'm not going to condemn you, but go and sin no more. You see, Jesus wants us to be changed. I tell my folks that my tour people that's on the tour with me in City West, I tell them, I say, you know, Jesus at the judgment, or God at the judgment, will probably ask us two questions. Now, those questions are extremely important. And they might not come like this, but in essence, this is how you're going to be judged. Number one, what did you do with my son Jesus? Did you let Him pay for your sins? And if you did, He'll ask you a second question. What difference did Him being Lord and Savior of your life, what difference did that make in your life and the life of those round about you? You see, that's important. Because if He made no difference, do you really know Him? If you weren't better and become more like Him, why do you follow Him? And so I tell him, I had a high school person come up to me and ask me about, well, what's hell? And I said, oh, don't worry about hell. He said, no, I'm kind of worried about it. And I said, well, if I was you, I'd be worried too, right? He said, no. But what? He said, what's hell like? I said, hell's a place where people go to pay for their own sin. That's it. You see, if you don't want to accept Jesus' free gift of grace on the cross and His blood, then you get to pay for your own sin, because sin can't come in the presence of the holy God. He offers a perfect sacrifice through His blood, and if you don't want that, you get to pay for your own sin. See, you don't have to worry about heaven or hell. You just need to decide who's going to pay for your sin, because you can't. It's going to take an eternity and then a day for you to pay for your sins. Right? So hell's the place you go to pay for your own sin. And here Jesus loves you no matter what. So I've got some questions that I just want you to think about. I have a young lady that takes notes, and she changes questions to action items. She learned that in school. I thought that was pretty good, but I still have just these. Do you love no matter what? Do you love people no matter what? Or you pick and choose who you want to love? What about Jesus? What about your family? You have somebody at church that can't get along with their in-laws. Oh, we've never gotten along. Ooh. Sister, you need to somehow get along. Jesus says, how can you say you love me when you never seen me and you can't get along with the people who you do know and see? See? You know, so do you love? What about the man on the street? Would people consider you a true friend? Are you a fair weather friend? I have a couple of brothers in Christ that I could be totally down and out. I could be the worst reprobate in the world and they would stand by me. They'd try to help me be better and do better. Do you have those kind of people? Folks, that's what the church is to do, to encourage and motivate each other and spur one another on to love and good works. Can you be, do you know that Jesus loves you no matter what? And I ask my kids, no, are you listening? No. Really? Do you really recognize that? And has Jesus really touched you in such a way that you will always, like Mary Magdalene, be a witness for him? You see, this Mother's Day, we got a chance to see a mother that expected a king and got a crucified criminal. And yet she stood at the cross. We saw another mother who had no words for her friend Mary, the mother of Jesus. She had no friend. She had no words to comfort her friend as they watched her baby die. A true friend. And then Mary Magdalene was there as a witness no matter what. So, we love because he first loved us. And I really believe this. The more you realize and experience his deep love for you at the foot of the cross, you'll love people more and more, deeper and deeper. Family, the man on the street, and Jesus Christ, no matter what situations we go through. Let's pray and the lesson will be yours. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we could be in your Word looking at examples of the three Marys. We thank you for the examples of being a mother who loved her family, who sacrificed and was there no matter what. We thank you for friends. We thank you for church people here in this community and all around the world that truly are friends indeed. Help us to be like them. Help us to be there when people are down and out and lift them up and help them along the way. Dear Lord, help us to be a witness for you. No matter what the rest of the world thinks about you, no matter whether they rail upon you or spit upon you or want to crucify you, dear Lord, may we stand as a witness for you, no matter what. Forgive us when we fail you and help us to do better. In Jesus' name, amen.